Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in saying his name and praying to his name. There is power in the body gathered, proclaiming his name and singing in his name and not backing down. Amen. So I just want to congratulate you for a moment. Thank you for digging into Proverbs with me. And thank you for being willing to persevere through what is sometimes uncomfortable. We are in chapter 7. If you pre-read, you'll know that chapter 7 is a different way of saying what 5 has said and what 6 has said. And so have you ever had a parent say the same thing over and over again to their kids? Or parents, have you ever said the same thing over and over again to your children? Or if you're the child, have you ever had your parents say the same thing over and over again and think, are they ever going to pick a new topic, right? Warning us of the same thing over and over and over again as if the parent knew that we would either experience what they were warning us about or they knew that the option and opportunity would come for us to choose what they were warning us about. Has that ever happened to you? If it has, raise your hand. Cool, a few honest people in the room, the rest of you, all right, sounds good. So your parents must have not cared about you. Anyway, so Proverbs addresses this issue, okay, in 3 straight chapters, in 5, 6, and 7, because, and I believe, we must study God's plan for marriage and for sexuality in our lives. And to ignore it is detrimental, okay, because it's either going to hit us like a freight train or it's going to come and bite us like a slithering serpent, but it's coming for all of us. So I have a question for you, because I know some of us may be sitting here going, really? One more time, I got to come to church? Or why are we talking about this in church? Is this appropriate for church? Is it appropriate for my kids? Can I just ask a question? Where else will you hear God's truth on these subjects? All right? The world informs you of its opinion on sexuality everywhere you turn. Like everywhere you turn. Movies, television, commercials, any type of printed media, it's there. Kids hear it in schools and with friends. I got a phone call, or I was talking to my wife on the way here, or on the way back home yesterday. I was had spent some time with my boys and some other guys, and I was driving home yesterday evening. And she called and she said, "Hey, I know the testimony that's going to be shared today, and I know the topic." And she was saying, "Is this appropriate for our 2 10-year-old girls?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, it's appropriate for 10-year-old girls," because the brother that's going to share the testimony today, his first exposure to it was 10 and 11 years old. Who better to share this with one another than parents and a church body with an open Bible? And for us to say, hey kids, hey young people, hey older folks, the answers are here. Amen? Or would you rather them learn it at recess? Well, if they ever have recess again. Or would you rather them hear it from a friend or on social media or a text message or in a group chat? There was a group of freshmen that were asked this about 15 years ago. They were pulled on their way in to Nebraska University. They were asked this question: how much influence did your church have on your view of sexuality? And do you know that only 2% of those coming in said the church had anything to do with their views of sexuality? The reality is this: sexual sin is rampant in our culture today. So here's where we're going to go, all right? Before we get to the text, and we've already talked about this, about why this is such a problem in our culture, and we're going to talk about kind of the overview and how this moves in all of our lives, and all of us have to deal with this, and the importance of talking about it. And then we're going to look at the text in Proverbs chapter 7, and we're also going to look at a personal testimony from leaders in our fellowship who will share with them their story, as they walked through this process. And then the Lord is inviting all of us to come to him in salvation, either for the first time or by returning to our salvation by confessing to him our sin and sharing it with a trusted brother or sister. And by doing this, we remember our salvation and we rehearse our redemption and reconciliation. Because here's the one truth. You don't take anything else away today. I beg you, take this one thing away. Here's the one truth. Ongoing confession to God and man, a trusted brother or sister, is the only way to live in victory. Okay? Ongoing confession, like habitual, repeated confession to God and man, is the absolute only way to live in victory. And I know some of you are sitting there going, yeah, there's got to be another way to conceal it. I promise you, there's not. I've tried. I've looked. Ongoing confession to God and man, a trusted brother or sister, okay? I'm not talking about somebody who's going to go, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it. I'm talking about a trusted brother or sister is the only way to live in victory. Because the deadly drama, the title of the message today is the deadly drama. And the deadly drama has three acts, okay? Three acts in our lives. One, it's a common temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation that has come to you that is not common to man. Meaning every last one of us will be susceptible or has experienced or will experience this temptation that's shared with us in Proverbs chapter 7. So your temptation, when you experience, is not unique. That's a lie from the enemy. You're the only one that feels this way. You're the only one that's ever had same-sex attraction. You're the only one that's ever been attracted to this girl. It's never happened like this. Man, that is a lie from hell. The temptation that you and I experience is common to man. And don't let the world tell you it's uncommon. Don't let the world tell you, oh, you're special. You're special, but you're special to God. Amen? Second thing, second act is after we understand it's a common temptation, we got to understand that we have to acknowledge the fall. Romans 3:23 makes it so abundantly clear. And this levels the playing field for us. There is not one person who can stand up in this room and go, I have never sinned in this way. If they do, they just lied. They're guilty of sin. All right, and they need Jesus too. All right. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one self-righteous person in this room. The only righteous person in this room is Jesus Christ. And he has poured out his righteousness on us. But none of us can stand and say, I don't struggle in this way. That, you just do. Acknowledge the fall, okay? So it's common temptation, acknowledge the fall, and then confession is the only way to victory. That's the third act. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess with our mouths, all right, then Jesus is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to forgive us of our sins. So before we dive in, I want to just say, make sure it's abundantly clear to every person in this room, it is okay to not be okay. Okay? As we approach this subject, it is okay to not be okay, but it is not okay to stay that way. Like, we don't get to look at Jesus and look at what he offers us and say, I still choose this. No. It's okay to come to him and not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. All right? If I'm hungry and I go to a buffet, it would be wrong for me to leave the buffet still hungry. Like, who fault is that? Thank you, right? And so we have to be honest with God and others. We must repent. We must walk with help from God and man. So we've talked about three chapters so far. The third chapter today, chapter 5, gave us the joy of marriage, the joy of intoxication with our bride, right? With our spouse, and the condemnation that comes with sinfulness. Chapter 6 talked about everyday integrity and warns us of sinfulness. And then chapter 7 is this illustrative drama. I'm calling it the deadly drama of how one can fall into adultery. However, this drama really isn't just about adultery. It's about how we could fall into any sin, because everyone can benefit from this chapter. So the first thing I want us to see in Proverbs chapter 7 is this. The deadly drama has deliverance. It has deliverance in our delights and our disciplines. Stand with me if you can in honor of reading God's word. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 of Proverbs chapter 7. This deadly drama has deliverance and delights and discipline. I want you to see how often it talks about keeping or treasuring or binding or writing them. Almost every phrase. Look at verse 1. My son, what's he say? Come on. Keep my words, man. Delight in that, right? Keep my words. Then he says what? Come on. Treasure up my commandments with you. Then he says it again. What? Come on. Keep my commandments and live. And then what? Come on.
keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. And then he says, not just keep it, don't just keep it. He says, tie it around some. He says, bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your hearts. This is like Deuteronomy 6. It's known as the Shema, when he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, all you are. Jesus adds your mind later when he recites this again in Matthew. And he says, we're to take this truth of who God is, his word, and we're literally to put it on our foreheads and stick it in our mouths and tie it around our necks and put it over our door frames of our houses. Why? Why does he tell us to do that? Because we're so inclined to forget. We're so inclined to forget. And he tells us what we should be treasuring and what's so good. Say to wisdom, he says, you are my sister. Now, this word sister is not the sister that you fight with if you're 11 years old, okay? That's a different sister, all right? When he says, you are my sister, this is actually in Song of Songs, chapter 4, I think it's in verse 2 or verse 9, he actually says, you, my sister, my bride. He's talking about my intimate, intimate friend. This is like 40-year-old, you just love this person you spend with. Say to wisdom, you are my intimate loved one. And call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Let me pray. God bless the reading and the hearing of your word. God, thank you that your word is so good. Now, God, may you make the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths, God, pleasing to you. God, because your word is already good. Now, may what it is in us, God, cause us, God, to think good thoughts and to say good words that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat if you would. Three quick things from the deadly drama has deliverance in our delights and our discipline. What do? We treasure the word of God. He talks about keeping the word, treasuring the word. Not only treasuring the word of God, but he says we should treasure it and we should dwell on it. Like, it's good. Like, we're going to get to the next part, which is the deadly drama, which is the bad stuff. It's the dangerous stuff. But before we do that, he's telling us what to fill up in our lives. It's this principle of displacement. All right, you can't just think, I don't want to commit adultery. Don't do bad. If that's all you ever think about, guess what's going to happen? Like, if I say, don't think about a yellow house, what are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about? Come on. Yeah, if I say, don't think about a pink fuchsia house, what are you going to think about, right? Right, you're there, right? And so, that's what we do with temptation. Don't think about that girl. Don't think about that girl. Don't think about that boy. Don't think about the boy. And what do? We're there. Like, it's like going to the grocery store hungry, right? That is the worst idea. I did that on Friday. I stopped by a grocery store, and I was hungry. I had dinner that I knew I was going to get a little later. I was picking up some stuff up from Saturday. Guess what I walked out with? Chocolate-covered Nutter Butters. All two of them or three, I don't remember how many. I think I told the first service I had two. I think I had two. I might have had three. They were wonderful. They were not what I needed, all right? I got there to get eggs and milk, and I walked out with chocolate-covered Nutter Butters. Why? Because I was hungry when I walked in, right? It's like this right here. It's a bottle. This bottle is about half full. So if I wanted to get rid of all the air in here, what do? Do I take this and go as hard as I can? No, that's trying to say, no, don't sin, no. How do I get rid of this air? I fill it up with water. I displace the air out of this bottle. Folks, Proverbs, Solomon has given us the goods at the very beginning. It's like the invitation's happening right now. He's saying, treasure the word of God. You fill up your life with the word of God. Dwell on the word of God. And not just that, but delight in the God of the word. And as we delight in the God of the word, it'll fill up our souls, so we walk in the grocery store, we'll just get the eggs that we need. And then maybe the chocolate-covered Nutter Butter won't be sinful. It'll be a delight. Amen? And so that's what we need. We need these things because he knows what's coming if we're hangry. Look at number 2, verse 6. The deadly drama destroys us with dangerously deceptive, delicious desires. Dangerously deceptive, delicious desires. Look at verse 6, and you can see the story. I'm so glad that this story is in Scripture for us. I'm so glad that God's word does what it does. I know our 10:02 alarm went off, so let me pray. God, help us as we talk about this subject. God, even pray for our missionaries on the field right now, God, that one of the requests we got from India before the COVID pandemic hit was asking us to come this fall and to teach on marriage and relationships because sexual integrity was under attack, God, in the churches that were being planted. Father, this is a serious subject, not just for there, but for here and in our church. So God, the harvest is plentiful and the labors really are few. So Lord of the harvest, help us to send labors in your harvest field to warn people of the dangerously deceptive, delicious desires, God, and that we might fill ourselves with the delights and with the discipline. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6, here we go. Listen to this story. He's given what we're supposed to be filling our lives where now he's given us the story. Verse 6, for at the window of my house, I've looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Can't you see him? Do-de-do-de-do-do, you know, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the what? Come on. In the twilight. Yeah, in the evening. At the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute. That just means she was scantily clothed. Wily of heart, she's loud and wayward. Her feet don't stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner, she lies in wait. And you're saying, like, how can one woman be at every corner? What's the dad telling his son? What's the parent warning his child? It's not just one girl, dude. Whoa, here she comes. What? Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up, right? I mean, it's everywhere. She's a man. I mean, we're going to get there, all right? I can't believe I did that. Anyway, so, all right. She seizes him, and what? She kisses him, and with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you. She's saying, look, I got my religiosity over. I walked the aisle. I prayed the prayer. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian too. We can do it. We're covered. We can sin abound, no problem, because we got our ticket to heaven. Woohoo! Man, that's not the gospel. So she sees him, kisses him, bold face says to him, I had to offer sacrifice, today I paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and what? Come on. Cinnamon. Hold on to that word. We're going to come back to it later. Come, come. Let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Man, this is just a perversion of chapter 5, right? Chapter 5 said that you should be intoxicated with the wife of your youth. May her bosom satisfy you always. Delight yourself in her. And now this woman is saying, no, come, let's take our fill all night together. For my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. And with her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter. So he's petting the ox. Come on, ox. Come on, ox. Right? Or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. And as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know it will cost him his life. Folks, listen, I'm not trying to make light. I'm just trying to help you understand. We experience deadly drama when we get too close to temptation. Like, if you're in the room, and hear me, if you're in the room and you fall into this temptation, don't hear me beat you up or make fun. That's not the point. I'm trying to illustrate for everyone how easy it is. How easy it is. And I want, remember we talked about the three acts, right? Temptation's common to man, right? All have fallen and fallen short of the glory of God and sin. All. You're not alone. Don't you dare listen to the enemy right now telling me you're the only one that's done. That's a lie from hell. But there's victory in Christ and we're getting there. So deadly drama is experienced by us when we get too close to temptation. We experience deadly drama when we get trapped by temptation. Look at how she traps him. trapped by looks in verse 10. She's scantily clothed. Trapped by accessibility in verse 11. It says that she's loud and wayward, making herself available. He's trapped by her aggression. Verses 12 through 13, man, she goes out, she seizes him and kisses him. He's trapped by her words, her religious words, her flirtatious words, her romantic words, her loving and reassuring and smooth words. And then she's trapped him by concealment. She says, my husband's gone. He's going to be gone a long time. She's trying to tell him, hey, look, no one will know and no one will ever know. Hey, folks, sin kept a secret keeps the sinner sabotage. That's why we said at the beginning, the one truth I pray you take away from today, is ongoing confession to God and to man, to one another, is the only way to live in victory. It's the only way. Because when it's concealed, it keeps us sabotaged. Just like the ox going to slaughter. The biggest lie that sinners believe, that's all of us, is that we're going to get away with the sin and no one will ever know. Of all the conversations I've had with people, the one common thread through the most destructive situations is when they say, I thought I was going to carry this to my grave. I thought no one would ever know. Hear me. It is right for us to confess to God and to man and to one another. We experience deadly drama when we get too close, when we get trapped, and then when we get trapped, we get trampled by temptation. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I don't want you to just take what I'm sharing with you from God's word. I also want you to hear a testimony from a trusted brother and sister who are leaders in this church who've experienced something similar to what we've just read and are on the other side of victory. So let's watch.
At 9 years old, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And around 10 years old, we moved from Michigan down to Georgia. And for whatever reason, my mom's mindset, it was like a light switch was flipped off as soon as we left the driveway in Michigan and went down to Georgia. Deep depression. We lived in Michigan for 10 months, and the reason it was so short is she ended up taking her life. And so, as you can imagine, during that 10-month period, our home life was very dark, very depressed. And so, the neighborhood we lived in, the last house on the street, and then it opened up to new construction and woods and stuff like that. So my brothers and I spent a lot of time just playing in the woods and riding bikes and stuff. And one day, I had slid down a hill to the base of some woods, and I literally fell into a pile of pornographic magazines. And as an 11-year-old boy, I saw that, and you know, when I started looking at what I was looking at, an adrenaline spike, and because I had never seen something like that before. But at the same time, I also felt this something in me saying that, should I be looking at this? Should I really be seeing what I'm looking at? And so there was this tension. I already felt this tension, even 11. That is this something I need to be doing, but at the same time there's an adrenaline spike, so I was just living with this tension. Didn't tell my brothers, they weren't around with me at the time, didn't tell my dad, I just didn't tell anyone. So fast forward to age 33, and that was 7 years into our marriage. I had been living with this battle all this time, but I told myself that I'm not, you know, I drew a line in the sand, I'm not taking this outside my marriage. So I'll keep battling just me and the Lord and get through this. But I had gone out of town to a conference at age 33, and I towed that line so closely that I panicked, that I realized this is really progressing to a point where I'm on the precipice of going over this line. It really, really panicked me. Got back to Richmond, and we had a dear friend of ours who was a mentor, associate pastor, named Maurice, and I went to his office immediately when I got back to Richmond, and I said, I really need to share something with you, and closed his door and just told him the whole story. I told him, I've never told anyone this before, but this is where I've been, and this is where I am today, and I'm scared. And so he knew Kelly well enough because he had been, we'd gone through premarital counseling and counseling with him, his family counseling. And he knew Kelly well enough to say, you need to go tell Kelly this too. And so she and I started talking. I shared what was going on. And that was the start of freedom for me because I was starting to walk in the light. But it was also the start of a really challenging season in our marriage, as you can imagine.
Hearing that caused a lot of emotional trauma. And I was angry. I felt betrayed. I didn't trust. I mean, I thought I knew Mike, and then I felt like I'm living with a stranger. And it started us on a journey of seeking counseling. And but the part of it, as we look back, our marriage is one of beauty from ashes, and. I want you to hear the message of hope because it was him sharing, him becoming vulnerable with me and honest that started a tough time in our marriage, several years of tough time. But when we walk through trouble, he's with us. In Nahum 1:7, it says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And so the other night, as I was trying to get over my stage fright, the Lord had been putting a song in my soul earlier in that day. And the song is from Elevation Church, Do It Again. And specifically the verses that he put in my heart were, I've seen him move the mountains, and I believe he'll do it again. To make a way when there is no way, and I believe he'll do it again. So in my heart, he whispered, get ready to see it. And the part of that that gives me such hope, and hope for anyone else that might be walking through this struggle, is that, yes, it was hard work, but God is with us. In Isaiah 43:16-19, it says, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, it felt like a sea, a path through the mighty waters. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And so that's what this story is. Making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So,
you might ask, was it worth creating such upheaval in my marriage, in our marriage, in our family, with me coming and sharing this? And I would absolutely say a resounding yes.
Do it again. I would do it again.
I would. Because this verse, if you look at verse 5 and 6, it talks about living in the darkness, and the darkness is more about living in an appearance as though I've got life figured out, because she's seeing just the good part of me. And it looks like I've got life figured out. No one does. And I certainly didn't. I knew it. And what was happening is when I was involved in pornography, I was engaged spiritually with it, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And that reserve, that limited reserve that I have, that I normally would cherish Kelly and love her and lead my family well, was being sapped over here. And what was left is irritation. She saw frustration or rage on occasion. And so she just got the leftovers. And so when I pivoted away from that and started walking in the light, then this relationship, it says in verse 7, it says we have fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. So this fellowship started growing. Hard times, at least when I was living a lie, it was like we were living on shaky ground anyway. And the trust that she had was not built on. It was built on sand. But when I came into the light and she started knowing the good and the bad, then that foundation at least was solid. Again, we needed time to get that trust growing back. But at least we were on a firm foundation at that time. And then secondly, I was walking with some guys at that time too, outside the church with support groups. Eight of us would get together every Wednesday evening and we'd talk about, we all had the same challenge. And we all had strained relationships. Some of them had already gone through divorces and families and things, but we all knew that this was something that we needed to get on top of. And so I knew all their stories and they knew my story. And so there was deep fellowship because we were connected in that way and we wanted to grow. So we're sharpening each other. The last thing I'll say, when it says fellowship, it's fellowship of one another, fellowship of other guys, but also fellowship of God. And this Bible is the Bible I used back in like the 90s and early 2000s. You can see that it's pretty beat up. Because at that time, I was so tied up trying to battle against this on my own. And my mindset was I kept messing up so much that I was just screwing up this Christian walk. And I was just a horrible believer. And that was my mindset. So I'd go and cry out to the Lord and be in His Word. But my effort was to try and just get to a point where He accepted me again. It wasn't that I was seeing the delight He had in me and abundant living. It was just, let me get accepted, be in an acceptable position again. When I came into the light with Maurice and Kelly and then some close guys, that relationship just opened up. And that's what this is talking about. That if we walk in the light, and as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. I started walking more freely. It took time, but I started walking more freely in Christ.
Did you hear what he said? It took time, but as I dug into the Word, I began walking more freely in Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 1. I want to read this, the message, the passage that he shared. Mike and Kelly, thank you for your transparency and honesty. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to use it to cause revival to break out amongst us who will be willing to be honest with God and honest with one another. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "This is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But," and I'm thankful for these in the Bible, "if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have," and Mike talked about this, "fellowship with" who? "One another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we don't have sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful," hallelujah, right? "And just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Church, the deadly drama, Mike and Kelly shared this with us, the deadly drama is defeated and deniable. All right. Let's read the rest of the text. Team, you guys come as we do. Look at verse 24 in Proverbs 7. Flip back. He says, "And now, O sons, listen to me." It's the Father saying one more time, "Listen, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't go near her paths. Don't stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." Yes, yes, the deadly drama is defeated and deniable. And here's how. When our hearts and minds are guarded in Christ and captivated by his word, meaning we do whatever is necessary to stay off the path to temptation, and we even take physical measures for moments of weakness. Like, one thing I love about my brother Mike, he shared a practical with me that when he goes into a hotel on a business trip, he undoes the cord from the back of the television to the wall, walks downstairs, and hands them the cord. Hands them the cord at the front desk. "Put it back in when I check out." Because when desire meets opportunity, you will fail every
time. Jonathan Broad said this. Our pastors met early Monday, praying through. We prayed for this service in particular, and we spoke for quite a while. And we asked each other, "How did you get victory over this?" Because out of all of our pastors, all of us have struggled in this way. All of us have struggled in this way, and we all are walking in victory because of honest confession to God and honest confession to one another. So if you're looking for a pastor who's never dealt with this, good luck. If you're looking for a husband who's never dealt with this, good, they're not there. If you're looking for a wife that's never dealt with this, you're not going to find one. You're looking for a women's leader, you're not going to find one. You're not going to find one. Because here's what Jonathan Braun said. We can't limit desire, but we can limit opportunity. Love it. So we displace wicked desires with God's desires and opportunities for selfishness with opportunities for selflessness. Mike Camary said it like this, Pastor Mike. He said, "Keep your cinnamon on your toast." All right? And Pastor Jonathan said this, "Or you'll be toast." All right? Just keep your cinnamon on your toast. Look, that whole idea when she shared earlier about how I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Man, my wife's got spray for our pillow. I know what that means. When I walk in, I go, I'm like, happy time. Yeah. Keep your cinnamon on your toast. Amen? Amen. All right, we deny the devastation of the deadly drama when we see the spiritual war and the spiritual victory. He says, see the tempter's house, see the tempter's victims, see the tempter's evil master. But man, I love this. Gaze at the beautiful Savior. You know what I love about Proverbs 7? That there's a Proverbs chapter 8. And chapter 8 is all about our beautiful Savior. Next week, you better come ready to worship. We're going to get it on with King Jesus because we're going to talk about how he is the first and the last, how he is amazing, how he's beautiful. We're going to gaze at him and fill up in our hearts his word, his glory, how he's before creation. So good. Jesus can wash away and transform anyone who cries out to him for salvation and repentance and faith. You may be here today and you've experienced brokenness. Congratulations, you're among everyone in this room who's experienced brokenness. And our only hope, don't hear us say anything about ourselves that we're something. No, we know the one who has paid for our sin. And we have hope in Christ. And you may be the person who's done the tempting and you're here today and you think, man, is there forgiveness even for me? Can I tell you that Jesus traded places with you? He traded places with adulterers and took the judgment that we deserve. So if you'll stand with me, the invitation's so simple. We've got leaders here that are going to be on the sides and also out in the lobby and outside. If you're a member of our pastoral leadership team, pastoral support team, I'm going to ask if you just raise your hand real high. Raise them real high and leave it up for a few moments. They and their wives stand ready and willing to have conversation with you because we've talked about the only way to live in victory is honest conversation with God and ongoing conversation and confession with another trusted brother or sister. These are trusted brothers and sisters. They will not abuse your story. They won't. So let me pray for us. Father God, I love you. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. God, I ask now at this time of invitation, Lord, that some of us need to come and be saved, Lord. We've never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray we would do so now. We wouldn't wait, wouldn't put it off. Say, God, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose from the dead, purchased a place for me in heaven, paid the penalty for my sin. And it may not be sexual sin. It might be a different sin, but he paid the penalty for my sin. So God, I come running to you and I ask to receive that salvation. There are others in this room and others listening and watching online who they believed in Jesus, they've put their faith in Jesus, but they've never been baptized. They need to come be baptized. Others need to join this fellowship, this membership of this church. And there are others who maybe just need to have an open and honest conversation, God, with you in confession. And then after they have that conversation, they need to talk to a trusted brother or sister. That is the invitation today. Have that conversation. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. You come as we sing.